Friends, we continue our discussion after the hostile takeover. The another chapter called cross-border mergers and acquisition. Cross-border means in different country there is one company, in our country there is one company. And if the acquisition or merger takes place, then what is to be done? A nutshell information was already provided to you in our introductory chapters under the cross-border mergers and acquisitions. But here, we felt that the detailed review must be placed before you to understand clearly the elements of the cross-border and how it is impacting the domestic merger and acquisition with the cross-border domestic mergers and acquisition and vice versa. So our objective is to understand, define and clarify the cross-border mergers and acquisition, which is, it may be inbound or it may be outbound. It may be statutory across the budget, across the border. It is a share of assets or acquisition and schemes. You can also understand the Indian regulatory architecture for merger and acquisition under FEMA, ODI and RBI cross-border merger rules. Key transactional tax competition, foreign exchange and cultural challenges also we are going to see here. And our discussion will be definitely presentation flow will be focusing on Indian companies acquiring the company abroad and regulatory framework for it as far as India-centric is concerned and typical regulatory filing checklist for Indian outbound acquisition. Indian outbound acquisition. A cross-border merger and acquisitions refers to a transaction in which merging entity or the acquirer and the target belongs to different country. Acquirer and target companies are located in different companies. So at least one of the companies is incorporated and governed under the laws of foreign jurisdiction. Then it is called as a cross-border merger and acquisition. In Indian context, this may involve the outbound merger and acquisition and inbound merger and acquisition. Now, statutory cross-border mergers. A formal merger under the Companies Act 2013 and the Foreign Exchange Management Act for the cross-border merger regulation 2018, where the foreign company merges into Indian company, or vice versa, Indian company merges with foreign company, that is subject to approval of NCLT, National Company Law Tribunal, and compliances with the Reserve Bank of India guidelines. So there are forms of the cross-border. There are various forms of the cross-border merger and acquisition. Cross-border mergers and acquisition can be structured in several forms, such as share acquisition, purchase of controlling and substantial minority stake in foreign target. Number two, asset acquisition. Direct purchase of specific assets like plant, brands, IP, then customer contract, which are located in foreign jurisdiction. Then merger by absorption and amalgamation. Two or more companies legally consolidate into one entity, often requiring the judicial approval. Now, joint venture and strategic alliances. Though not strictly it is a merger and acquisition, many Indian companies enter into the foreign market by forming a joint venture there with local firms before the full acquisition, and these may later evolve into acquisitions. Then reverse merger and inversions. reverse mergers, or it is called as a inversions also. This occurs when an Indian company merges into the foreign company to relocate its corporate domicile abroad, often motivated by the tax and capital market consideration. Then strategic rationale for the cross-border merger and exchange. Cross-border, strategic rationale. Strategic rationale is because of the rationale which includes the market expansion, means the access to the new geography. Technology and innovation acquisition means Indian firms often acquire the foreign companies to gain advanced technologies. There may be resource and raw material security, acquisition in mining, energy, agriculture, secure supply chains. Then diversification of risk. Cross-border merger and acquisition allows the Indian firms to spread their risk across the different market and currencies, reducing the dependence on the domestic economy. Then there will be a brand enhancement and the global presence. There will be financial and tax advantage also. There will be a defensive and competitive consideration. Right? Then it is followed by the Indian companies acquiring abroad. There are certain illustrative cases. Now, these cases are the factual cases which are actually happened. I will only name out these cases. You may please go through this for better understanding the cross-border merger and acquisition. The first case is that Tata Motors acquires Iveco, which is Italy-based company. Okay, their deal highlight and everything is given here in details. Okay, number two case is Hindalco Industries acquires Alukem, which is USA-based company. This Indian company has acquired the Alukem, which is USA-based company. That also complete history and total transaction I have given. Then Wipro acquires Harman's DTT units, which is a digital transformation solution. That also you can see the example. Then Mazagao Dock acquires controlling stake in Colombo's Dockyard in Sri Lanka. That is also another form of acquisition, cross-border acquisition, right? Next one will be Titan acquires majority stake in Damas. Titan acquires majority stake in Damas in UAE, United Arab Emirates. The sixth one will be the Firestone acquires the Ascensors. Ascensors, that is UK-based company. Okay. Seventh will be Infosys expands via two acquisitions in 2025, MRE Consulting and The Missing Link. One is USA-based, another is Australia-based. But that is acquired by the Infosys. Okay. Now, regulatory framework. These examples which I have quoted now, that will give you the thorough understanding how the process happened for acquisition under the cross-border jurisdiction. Right? Now, let us understand certain regulatory framework where it is India-centric, actors, rules, and typical filing. Now, the key actors under regulatory framework is, number one is the Reserve Bank of India, because it regulates the foreign exchange transaction under Foreign Exchange Management Act 1999, and it monitors the outbound investment by Indian companies. Outbound investment by Indian company. It prescribes the reporting norm, pricing guidelines and sectoral caps. Then SEBI is another watchdog. This regulate listed companies involved in cross-border deals. Then overseas takeover code compliance, disclosure norms, insider trading, and fairness of valuation. Third one is a Ministry of Corporate Affairs, that is MCA. Administers the Companies Act 2013 and NCLT also, which will be followed by the Competition Commission of India, which evaluates whether the cross-border of merger and acquisition result into appreciable adverse effect on competition in India or not. Then income tax department, it applies, income tax department applies the capital gain tax, transfer pricing rule, GAAR, that is general anti-avoidance rule. Then sectoral regulations, for example, IRDAI for insurance, TRAI for telecom, RBI for banking and NBFC, Department of Telecommunication, telecom spectrums, and DPIIT for FDI policy. Approvals needed for sensitive sectors like defense, media, insurance, financial services. Now, rules and regulation. Under this, the Foreign Exchange Management Act, there are certain rules where the core legislation governing overseas acquisition, ODI regulations in 2022 framework consist of automatic route up to 400% of net worth investment is allowed in overseas joint venture or overseas or wholly owned subsidiary, WOS. Approval route for strategic sectors beyond the limit and restricted for countries under FATF, grey blacklist, or neighboring countries sharing land borders with India. So reporting to RBI in the form of ODI part 1 and 2 and annual performance report, that is APR. Then Companies Act 2013, cross-border merger rule 2017 allows inbound and outbound mergers with notified jurisdiction requires NCLT approval. Then SEBI regulations, Takeover Code 2011, open offer obligations if control changes in listed entities, LODR regulations, issue of capital and disclosure requirement, and delisting regulations. Now, Competition Act, Income Tax Act, these are also another acts. They can directly hitting the mergers and acquisition, cross-border mergers and acquisition. Then typical filing. Once it is decided to merge or take over foreign company or merge Indian company with foreign company, they are at pre-deal stage, there should be a board and shareholder resolution, valuation report should be there, and due diligence on sectoral restrictions should be there. Regulatory filing consists of RBI in form ODI for outbound acquisition, and for FCTRS is transfer of shares, right? FCTRS for it. Then MCA and NCLT, that is petition for the merger scheme, merger and merger scheme. CCI, form 1 and 2 for merger notification. SEBI, open up a document, public announcement, and income tax, advance tax ruling is applicable. Post-deal stages, RBI annual performance report for overseas subsidiaries. SEBI requires continuous disclosure under LODR. MCA requires, Ministry of Corporate Affairs requires filing of merger order and updated charter document. Now, recent development is also happened here, which consists of new overseas investment regulation that came into existence in 2022. By RBI, who simplified the ODI procedures. Then neighboring country restrictions rule came into 2020 onward. Prior government approval is required for the investment in form of entities like in China or Pakistan, etc. Or the pre-government approval is required for the purpose of investment in that country. Then they are receiving the investment from that country. Then digital filing. Digital filing is required under MCA V3 portal, CCI online green channel, RBI firms portal, which streamlines the compliance. Then tax reforms consist of faceless assessment, advanced pricing agreement, that is APA, for transfer pricing certainty. Then sectoral liberalization consists of higher FDI caps in insurance, 74%, defense 74%, and space technology. The typical regulatory filing checklist for Indian outbound acquisition. India's outbound acquisition means foreign countries' company when it is acquired by the Indian company, then there are certain typical regulatory and filing checklist, which this checklist of the typical regulatory and filing requirement used for. One is a corporate approval in India. First, there should be a board approval. Second, there should be shareholders approval. Then, under the FEMA and RBI compliance, overseas direct investment regulations, then filing of form FC, that is financial commitment, with authorized dealer bank, and ensuring the compliance with the ODI master direction, as well as adherence to the atomic route up to 400% of net worth as per the latest RBI rules, or approval route if the limits are exceeded. Then mode of investment would be equity acquisition or joint venture or wholly owned subsidiary abroad. Then pricing guidelines has to be adhered to, or the investment should be at the fair value, certified by the category 1 merchant banker or chartered accountant as per the host country's regulations. And annual performance report is a mandatory reporting to RBI for the foreign subsidiary. SEBI regulation for acquirer targets is listed. Then SEBI LODR regulation 2015. Then disclosure material events to the stock exchanges. SEBI SAST regulations, where it is applies if the Indian listed acquirer raises the capital, issues shares, or undertake the preferential allotment to the fund acquisition. SEBI ICDR, that is acquisition in financed by issuance of the securities like ADR or GDR. Companies Act 2013, as per under section 186, the limit on loans and investment, as well as section 234 for merger and amalgamation with the foreign companies, requires approval from NCLT and RBI. Section 188 relates to party transactions, and if it is applicable. Now, sector specific approvals. Insurance approval for IRDAI controlled entities, banking and financial services for approval from RBI. Telecom related approval is required from Department of Telecommunication. Defense related approval is required under FDI for approval for the Ministry of Defense and clearance. Now, host country regulatory compliance consists of merger control filing. Merger control filing is nothing but notification to the competition authority in target's jurisdiction, that is US, FTC, UE commission, whatever it may be. Then security filing. Securities filing is disclosure requirement in case of listed target companies, and local approvals is required for the employment law, data protection regulation, etc. Then financing and exchange control compliance. ECB, external commercial borrowing if funds are raised abroad. Then LRS is a liberalized remittance scheme for individual shareholders, investor participating in transfer of shares, and hedging regulations is mandatory for advisory hedging for forex exposure or foreign exchange exposure as per the Reserve Bank of India guideline. Documentation and due diligence consist of transaction agreement, shareholders agreement, joint venture agreement. Valuation report is certified by merchant banker or chartered accountant. Due diligence report is required from the legal, financial, tax, cultural and operational due diligence, and fairness opinion is often obtained to ensure the pricing is justifiable. Post-transaction compliance requires filing of ODI, that is Overseas Direct Investment Update, with RBI through ODI portal, and then reporting to the stock exchange for listed companies, filing with Ministry of Corporate Affairs for updated shareholding disclosures, and monitoring of performance is annual reporting obligations to RBI. Key transactions and post-deal challenges, that is mitigation. Okay, the cross-border acquisition by Indian companies often faces a unique transactional and post-deal challenges. Regulatory and legal complexity consist of the challenges and mitigation. Now, let us understand the challenges and mitigation. In regulatory legal complexity, what is challenge? Challenge is multiple approval required for in Indian. in India and the target company, that's RBI, SEBI, CCI, MCA, their mitigation is early regulatory mapping of both jurisdiction. Now, second one, valuation and currency risk. Challenge is overvaluation of foreign target due to market hype. Mitigation is independent fairness opinion and multiple valuation methods. Financing and leverage pressure. Challenge is heavy reliance on the debt financing, including the external commercial borrowing. Right? And its mitigation is optimize the mix of the debt and equity financing and explore the syndicated loan, masala bond and structural finance. Cultural and organizational integration challenge is cultural mismatch between the Indian management and the foreign employee. Mitigation is conduct cultural due diligence in addition to the legal financial due diligence. Taxation and transfer pricing consists the challenge of double taxation, risk and compliance transfer pricing, withholding tax obligation in host country and risk of aggressive tax auditor or tax audits in both jurisdiction. Its mitigation is double taxation avoidance agreement, that is DTAA, effectively, and ensure robust transfer pricing documentation. Political and economic geopolitical risk consists the challenge of political instability, sanctions and protectionist policies in target company. Mitigation is obtain political risk insurance. Post-merger integration, that is PMI, is the challenge is failure to realize the expected synergy, technology process and system misalignment. Mitigation is prepare a detailed post-merger integration roadmap before closing, invest in IT and system harmonization. Reputation and ESG compliance consist of the challenge, which is acquiring a foreign company with poor ESG, that is environmental, social and governance record, can damage the reputation. And mitigation is conduct the ESG due diligence before acquisition. Now, communication and stakeholders management challenge is negative reaction from investor, employee and or regulators due to lack of clarity. Mitigation is develop a communication strategy for all the stakeholders. With this, we conclude our discussion on cross-border investment and cross-border mergers and acquisition. Thank you very much.